Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. This is Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And today we watched The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Mom wanted to watch a cult classic from when she got out of high school in 1974. And I found a couple options for her. And she said, let's watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Boy, was I wrong.
And I said, are you sure?
We should have went with Young Frankenstein.
This movie is obviously from 1974. It was rated R. It was 83 minutes long. And it was directed by Tobe Hooper.
Yes.
It got an 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, I saw that.
91 on Metascore, which I believe is the highest one we've seen yet.
Wow, yes. Yes.
And 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb, which I think is low.
Again, that, you know, like you said, that person that's going to want to see this movie is going to love it.
Right.
So, yeah, 7 out of 10 is unbelievable to me.
Yeah. I have a budget of about $140,000.
Yeah, we'll talk in depth about financing. That was really crazy. I have a whole page where it's all written out who got what, where, when, why, and how. And it's just weird to me.
Huh.
So we'll talk about that for sure.
And the worldwide gross I show is about $30.9 million.
I also saw that, yes.
And it has spawned several sequels, a full remake, series.
Yeah,
they're still making them.
Yes. And they're still running these.
Oh, yeah. We watched this on Peacock just, you know, out of the blue today. It was there.
Wow.
So,
because we had talked about it, see if you had a CD somewhere.
Yeah. And, you know, I talk about stuff and then it doesn't happen. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
Before we get too far into this, I need to tell you to go look at our TikTok.
It's a good one today.
Because our TikTok for this movie is ridiculous. And if you didn't already know that we're ridiculous human beings, I hope that you learn from that TikTok just exactly who we are as human beings.
Yes. Yes. Pardon me. Yes. Yes. Anyone who knows us knows we're ridiculous. And the rest of you now can see it.
Right.
We are ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And while we're talking about things that aren't the movie quite yet, we had a theme meal.
Yes.
Of sausage.
Yeah.
And noodles, which is one of my favorite meals ever of all time. And I think people would call that a struggle meal because it's just really cheap to make.
Yes.
But like, it's so good. And you can do so much with it.
I love an egg noodle. I love it.
It's great.
You can put egg noodles on my plate any day. Plain, put sauce on it, gravy, my cottage cheese. I love the cottage cheese and egg noodles.
Oh,
you know, you can put anything on an egg noodle and it will be delicious.
Yeah. And I, yeah.
And who doesn't like a piece of smoked sausage?
Absolutely.
I love it.
We had turkey sausage.
It was delicious.
And it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I would get it again.
And I got broccoli for a little color. Because I figured it was a little bit of a beige plate.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah, but it was delicious.
It was.
And it fit into the movie when you saw what they were having for dinner.
Right. They had sausage also.
Yeah.
But who it was, we don't know.
Right. The basic plot of this movie is that a group of five friends on a road trip through the backwaters of 1970s rural Texas fall prey to a murderous, cannibalistic family.
Yeah. That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Horrible as it may be.
Yeah.
I did not understand the generator, though, but it's okay. It's okay.
Well, I don't know. Something needed to keep that freezer cold.
Well, yes. But don't they have electricity? We hear a lot about the grid in Texas. I'm sure they had grid in Texas in 1974.
Maybe they weren't on it.
Although.
They were killing people and feeding them to people at their gas station.
Right.
Well, so what makes you think they were on the grid?
Exactly. Plus, they needed to stay incognito. They didn't want any paper trail.
Right. Yeah. You see these people get a light bill?
Crazy people in the big house.
Yeah. You see a mailman walking up to that house every day?
Hell no.
Absolutely not.
Right. Yikes.
Can you even imagine?
No, I can't even. I can't even. This was written and co-produced by Toby Hooper and Kim Hinkle.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, our director has passed.
Of course.
Which, you know, my God, I mean, so many of them right now are passing. But he was born in 1943. The British Film Institute cited Hooper as one of the most influential horror filmmakers of all times.
Wow.
Yep. And this movie, he debuted his directing career in 1969 with a movie called Eggshells. And then followed it up with The Chainsaw in 1974.
Huh.
And in 1982, he did Spielberg's Poltergeist.
Well, I heard that he had started it and then Spielberg took over. So I don't know exactly how that went.
But he was involved with it then.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, that's, you know, in 10 short years, he did a movie like this to a
big budget.
Big budget.
Something.
Blockbuster film.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
The cast is Marilyn Burns,
mm-hmm.
Alan Danziger, Paul A. Partain, William Vail, Terry McMinn, Edwin Neal, Jim Saito, Gunnar Hansen, and John Duggan.
Yep.
That's what I wrote down as cast.
Yep. They mostly all unknown actors. He got many of these people from all around Texas, from commercial actors, local TV shows, stage actors.
Oh, okay.
A few of them were known, but I think that when it said that they were a known actor, I think it was more local type stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, so because I didn't recognize any of the names at all. So even Hooper himself was in the movie. Let's see. Oh, Gunnar Hansen. Gunnar Hansen. I've known of him for a while because of Val.
Yeah.
But really, I don't think I've ever seen a movie with him in it before.
Okay.
So I think he's about the only known actor to me.
Okay.
Other than John Larroquette, who did the intro.
Yeah, the opening narration.
Right. So that, but he wasn't in the movie.
No.
I can't even picture him in the movie.
John Larroquette?
Right.
Well, first of all, John Larroquette is like 7 feet tall. Like, right. He would stick out like a sore thumb.
Right. Right. And I thought this was an interesting little sidebar. When Gunnar Hansen took this part, that it was a nonverbal, his person was nonverbal. He went to a school for the handicapped and disabled so that he could see how they moved and how they just acted, to make it more realistic, you know, just rather than just being a guy that just doesn't say anything. He wanted to see how they moved and what their stature was
and how to be expressive without expressing anything.
Right, exactly.
Oh, interesting.
And I thought, for a movie like this, he's going to go out of his way to do something like that. I thought, that's a pretty good actor.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I had read that Gunnar Hansen, like, didn't get along with the guy that played Franklin, Paul Partain. He didn't get along with him at all on the set, and he was just like, that guy's kind of an asshole. And then he met him later and was just like, oh, this guy's great. And they were friends until Paul died.
Oh my gosh.
Because Paul Partain was method acting. So he was just that obnoxious handicap guy the whole time.
Okay. Oh my, that would be annoying.
I can't. Like, I understand the need for it, but, like, I just, like, can you turn it off to go home? Like, do it at work. We'll do it at home.
Right, right. Absolutely. Let's see what else. Oh, influences. This I probably should have put up before this. This movie.
Okay.
Being the first of its kind.
Yeah.
Has influenced all sorts of directors in the genre.
Oh, yeah.
Wes Craven.
Uh-huh.
Your favorite guy, Rob Zombie.
Ugh.
Ridley Scott.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought, I think of Ridley Scott necessarily as a horror movie guy.
But we saw Alien, and that was terrifying.
Yes, it was. So, you know, and there's others. The others still coming down the line that are looking at this movie to get pointers.
Oh, cool.
I thought, that is really interesting.
Yeah, Wes Craven, I think Last House on the Left came out in like 78 or 79.
Oh.
And they had a whole campaign like, this is only a movie, this is only a movie, this is only a movie. And then it was the movie it was. And it's one of those polarizing movies that you either love it or you hate it. I have only seen parts of it. And I didn't like what I saw. Also, I know what it's about. And I know that I wouldn't like that.
Okay.
Last House on the Left is two girls are going into town from, you know, a small little house. And they're going into the big city to go see a concert. And they get into trouble along the way.
Of course.
And they're raped and killed viciously by this gang of people. And this gang of people end up at the parents' house.
At the girls' parents' house?
Yeah, and the girls' parents figure out who they are pretty quickly and turn it around on the bad guys. It's all a whole thing. But the whole rape and murder thing isn't my bag.
Nah. No, we just like murder and dismember.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Well, sometimes they weren't even murdered. They were just dismembered.
Well.
Poor guy in the wheelchair.
Well, he was just butchered.
Yeah. Oh my. Nice. Yikes. Yeah, this is and not only that, it spawned a lot of movies, you know, a whole franchise for Leatherface.
Absolutely.
Sequels, prequels, remakes, comic books, video games.
That board game you got Justin for his birthday.
Yep.
Which has left the living room. God knows where it went. But Justin was like, oh, we got to get that game out. You can talk about it for the podcast. And of course, we never did.
Yeah, and we even talked about it. But
I know that we have it, and I know that it's cool.
Yeah.
You can find it on Amazon.
Yes. Yes. And to keep the budget, the cost down, you know, because of the cost of renting the equipment to film, they filmed 7 days a week for 16 hours a day so that they could get the whole movie in before the money ran out.
Jeez, could you even imagine?
No, I can't. Especially with as little money as they had. You know, it's crazy. Do you want to talk about the money?
We could talk about the money. I had read that there was a real interesting story about the distribution company.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
There's stuff about that in the money business.
Okay.
Hooper and Henkel formed the company Vortex. You see that at the very beginning when the movie comes on. Vortex Incorporated.
Okay.
And a guy named Bill Parsley formed a company called MAB Incorporated. And he invested $60,000 for the movie. In exchange, he got half the profits.
Oh, okay.
Then Ron Bozeman, a production manager, talked the cast and crew into taking part of their salaries deferred until the film was sold to a distributor so that, you know, they didn't get their money up front.
Oh.
They got a little money, and then when the movie was sold, they'd get more money.
Okay.
Then Vortex changed it up a little by giving everybody shares of the movie from like 0.25% to up all the way up to 6%. You know, they gave away the back side of the money there.
Okay.
But the cast and crew was never told that Vortex only owned half of the profits. So they thought that they were going to hit big. So then we go into post-production, and there was a $60,000 budget for that. So 60 for the movie and 60 for, I guess it would, that's how it would have been, like 60 and 60. But the post-production ran into the 90,000s.
Oh,
so that's a considerable a lot more money than they had. So they went to a film group called Pie in the Sky, and Pie in the Sky gave them $23,532.
What an odd number.
In exchange for 19% of the movie.
Oh, so now they're down to 31% ownership?
Just about. It said 40 in the paper, the stuff I read, but I thought, I know how to add and subtract, and that's only 31%. But anyway, 31?
Yeah.
Yes. So our money is dwindling and dwindling.
Ooh.
But then we come to the distribution. And there is a distribution company called, it'll come to me in a moment.
I didn't write it down.
Brian Storm?
Something like that.
I didn't write it down. Brian Storm something.
Hold on, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Because I was going to look it up and remember it, but I didn't do that. I was going to have this all ready. Blah, blah, blah. Dinner scene. D-d-d-d-d. Bryanston Distribution Company.
Bryanston Distribution Company?
That's what it says.
Okay, I had that written down, but I thought it was more than that. So they threw in, but they wanted 1.5% of the profits plus a $500 fee.
Oh.
So on goes the, lower goes the money. And then there was even another distribution company called Bozeman and Scraven.
Okay.
That put in $225,000, and they got 35% of the profits.
Well, how was there 35 left?
There isn't.
Oh, boy.
There isn't. So in the end, in the very end, the cast and crew, which were about 20 people, split about $8,000.
Oh,
can you imagine all that work for eight? I can't divide $8,000 by 20. What are we talking in the low hundreds?
Yeah.
So in the end, there was a suit against Bryanston.
Bryanston.
They did they did try to recoup some money from them, but that by that time, they had already gone into bankruptcy, and there was nothing for them.
This says that Bryanston was a mafia front operated by Louis Pereno, who was called Butchie, who used the money to launder profits he made from Deep Throat.
I did not read that.
Yeah, it says, in return, the production received only enough money to reimburse the investors and pay the cast and crew $405 apiece. The producers eventually discovered that Pereno had lied to them about the film's profits. After he was arrested on obscenity charges when his role in Deep Throat was revealed, the cast and crew filed suit against him and were awarded $25,000 each.
Oh my goodness.
New Line Cinema, which obtained the rights to the film from the now bankrupt Bryanston, paid off the cast and crew as part of the purchase agreement.
Nice.
So they did get a little money.
So I didn't even find the whole story. Here I thought I had the whole story.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I thought this was interesting, but it was just, you know, like one of those paragraphs that I didn't feel like writing.
Yes. Yes. And I had had the money interspersed throughout the pages that I had written. And I thought, you know what? I need to put this all on one page.
Yeah.
You know, bullet point by bullet point.
Yeah.
But I missed the whole good stuff.
The mafia front.
Nice.
Laundering money from the movie
good
Deep Throat.
Lord. That is crazy to me. I mean, yeah, that would have came out at the same time, too.
It said 1972, so, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. It just, like...
How 70s can this movie get? Very.
Absolutely. And then they kept selling a part of it and a part of it. Thinking, wait a minute. We can only have 100%. Once it goes over 100%, the government gets involved.
Right.
So I think that they were right there at the very flip end of that 100%.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
So, yeah. So.
Oh, and you know, all that screaming for $405.
You betcha.
All that that my hair tangled from the underbrush. No, thank you.
Right.
$400. Go fuck yourself.
Right. And I really didn't see that there were any stunt people. So when she jumped out that window. She must have jumped out that window.
Yeah.
She kind of landed in a bush, so that broke her fall. But I still, like you said, how did the back of her shirt get ripped open?
Did he, like, clip her with the chainsaw as she was going out? Because that would be the only, like, her shirt might have puffed and he might have got the shirt and not her back.
But I think that would have been more frayed if that had happened, you know, material and those teeth on the chainsaw.
I mean, you would think that getting in with those teeth would just, you know, like, pull you back, you know, a little bit.
I don't know
how that works.
She just came out with a flesh wound on her arm and her shirt ripped.
Yeah.
So. Well, I guess it was better than the front of her shirt ripped.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You could tell at the beginning of the movie there was no bra involved in that shirt.
Oh, no. Of course there's no bra involved.
Oh, okay.
No bottoms and no bras. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
All burned our bras in 1974. You know. I do remember that, but, well, I didn't. I've always looked like this, but. So, yeah, no.
Yeah. We were talking about, you know, our peak physical specimens running away from a chainsaw-wielding maniac and, you know, just how we would die instantly. Yeah,
instantly.
It was funny. I feel like at the remake, I had went to see the remake with my ex-husband. We saw it in the theater,
uh-huh.
And he leaned over to me while they're running through the underbrush, and he said, you know I can outrun you.
Did you punch him in the eye?
And that has sat with me for 20 years.
No wonder you divorced him.
Like, Little things like that that should have been giant red flags beating me in the face were nothing little things. It all accumulated into one big thing.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
You know I can outrun you. Fuck you, man. You're supposed to protect me, dick.
My goodness, yeah. Well, yeah. Filming was in... We'll move right on. Was in Round Rock, Texas.
Okay. During a heat wave.
Yes. And again, they talked about the cost of the equipment, which, you know, I don't know really anything about making a movie, but we've heard this before. I wonder if when you make a movie, no matter whether you own the cameras or not, I wonder if it's like rented. You know, like businesses, you go into a store and the store really doesn't own that building. The holding company owns that building. Even though the holding company is probably owned by the store, the store is still renting for itself. So I wonder if that's how it works in movies. You think?
I would think, especially being in somewhere, you know, where's Round Rock is compared to like Austin or like Dallas or Fort Worth or Houston, you know, those big cities that might actually have like some sort of
production company.
Yeah.
Movie making operation.
Like, right.
You know, they make movies here in Toledo.
Yeah.
So I wonder where that equipment comes from. Interesting. Maybe that's something I need to look into.
Yeah.
Huh.
And, you know, we're talking about $400 being nothing today. But, you know, $400 in 1974, that was a lot of money.
Right. A lot of what I read when they were talking about money, it did it in 2019 dollars.
Oh.
And I thought, wow. Yeah, but we've talked about that many times.
Yeah.
You know, times that times 10, you know, and that's what the money is.
Yeah. What would you have done with $400 in 1974?
We would have been living high. We didn't have an apartment in 74. I was still in high school. But I think the mortgage on the house that my parents had was less than $100, probably around $90.
Wow.
You know, for a whole house. And I remember that because the apartment we rented in, we moved into the house in 1964. And we came from an apartment, and the apartment was $36 a month.
Holy shit.
In 64. So I remember $90. That was a big step for our family.
Big money.
Because it was only my dad working. My mother did not work. And, and David and I went to, in parentheses, private school. We went to the Catholic school. So there was a cost there. So,
but not in 1974.
No, in 74 we went to the I was at the high school for 6 years. We had junior high and high school at the high school.
Okay.
So, but yeah, we went to the public school for high school. But yeah, I mean, $400, that's your whole monthly budget.
Wow.
So that's a
Could good, you even imagine?
Right. That was a good amount of money. But now when you hear these yahoos are making millions, you know, who's worth $1 million?
A lot of people.
I don't think so.
Not us. I know that for sure.
Right. Right. But they did have the heat that we have right now, so.
Oh, my God.
They were in 95 to 100 degree heat. And anybody who's ever been to Texas knows that's hot.
Yeah.
I've never been to Texas, but I've been to southern states, and it's hot there.
Well, I've heard that Texas has that dry heat, and also the bugs. The bugs. Oh.
That's the thing. I'm thinking, that's what I said through the whole movie. Don't they know they have rattlesnakes? They're those girls are running around with bare feet.
Yeah, like
and
flip-flops.
And
yeah.
I'm thinking, they have rattlesnakes in Texas. I wonder if they have tarantulas. But you saw those spiders at that house? They had spiders. And, oh, you can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. That just looked awful.
Yeah. You want an armadillo scratching at your leg? No, thank you.
Right. Ew, and they're big, too. Armadillos. Blythe has them in her city.
Oh, seriously?
Yes.
And oh, weird.
I've never seen a live one, but they're dead all over the road.
Jesus Christ.
Well, they're really slow moving and they're kind of dumb, I think.
Oh.
So.
Like me?
No. No.
Kind of slow moving and a little dumb.
Oh my God. And there was an inside, and the filming inside that house was a lot of probably gore. There was a lot of different stages of decomposition.
Oh yeah.
And oh my God, I can't even imagine the smell.
I wrote down, what did I write down? Blah, blah, blah. Hold on. I've got it.
Okay. But I do know that somebody went around and did pick up roadkill and stuff like that.
Oh, just put it in the house?
Yes.
Fucking gross.
Yes. But they did wash it. They did wash it up a little.
After sitting 5 hours to get the old man makeup done, John Duggan decided that all of his scenes needed to be shot first because he was not going to sit through that process in that Texas heat again.
Oh my God.
And they said that the heat was brutal and that the body odor and the smell of the rotting food made the cast and crew miserable. Edwin Neal was the hitchhiker. The guy with the mark on his face.
Uh-huh.
He said that the filming that scene was the worst of my life, and I had been to Vietnam with people trying to kill me.
But yes, I understand that. And they also mentioned that none of the costumes had been washed at all during the filming.
No.
Because they were concerned that they wouldn't come back from the cleaners or that they would change colors or something. So they wore it from the beginning to the end, those uniforms.
Gunnar Hansen said that they gave him one shirt and it had been dyed so it wouldn't be washed.
Oh my God.
And he said that wearing that shirt day in and day out, by the end, nobody would sit next to him at lunch.
Plus his apron was solid,
probably
stiff from,
well,
from
and that's
the
what
blood
said,
and gore.
That when Sally is running through that underbrush, she's getting tore the fuck up.
Yeah.
And they said that most of the blood on her clothing, you know, when she's running around and all that bramble, is hers.
It's real blood. Yes. Yes. And they had problems with the fake blood because it was so hot. It was coming. It wasn't coming out liquidy. It was
all gummy,
stiff and not real good.
This says that Marilyn Burns's clothing was so drenched with fake blood by the last days of filming that they were virtually solid. Could you even imagine?
God. And some of that one where the kid is laying there on the slab and he's running that chainsaw around him.
Uh-huh.
There were no stunt doubles. That wasn't a fake body. That was him. And that chainsaw was coming within inches of him.
Oh, Jesus.
So that it looked so real.
Okay.
Hi, yay, yay.
And I had read that the woman suspended on the meat hook. They had kind of had her rigged to be suspended. She was actually suspended. And to cushion her crotch, they just layered up giant maxi pads. And she said, and it still was a really painful experience.
Well, it helped her screaming then.
I'm sure.
And also by the end of the filming with all the hammers and the chainsaws, that almost everybody had some sort of an injury during the time. Oh my God, I can't even imagine.
Can you even imagine?
No.
For our TikTok, I left the blade guard on because I know that we're idiots. only for our personal safety.
And we would have ripped each other up with the chainsaw unplugged, not moving.
1,000%.
I was going to get a knife out of the kitchen to wave around, but I thought better of it. That's when I thought of Grandpa.
Yeah.
That'd be a better.
Yeah.
Be a better prop than a knife. Because we definitely would end up dead or something.
Yes!
We are not the sharpest tools in the knife block.
And we are uncoordinated as shit, so...
Right.
Can you even imagine?
We would have made a mess.
A mess. Justin would have just came home to body parts on the floor.
What happened here?
Oh my god, can you even...
You two alone! Yeah, that's us.
Yeah, he said that there's another chainsaw in the garage, and he said it's a real big one. It's a full size one.
It's a gas powered one. And it's Grandpa's.
Yeah. And he said that he's not. I'm pretty sure the blade's rusty. He's just like, I don't think I've ever used it. And I was just like, so the chance of me or mom cutting each other is high. He was just like,
and then we would have got tetanus.
Yeah,
to go along with it.
Oh yeah, what did you do this weekend? I went to my daughter's house and got tetanus. What? And then they're gonna come look at me for elder abuse.
And there you are with a arm in a sling and an eye patch. And what happened to you? The same thing that happened to my mom.
It was mutual combat.
You can see that. You can see that.
Stop.
My God. Oh, my God. This is craziness. Yeah. Okay, that's distribution. We don't need that anymore. All right, what else do I have here? This movie was released October 1st, 1974.
Okay.
And it was intentionally marketed as a true story.
Yeah, well, that's what the little monologue at the beginning said.
It was not.
Of course not.
It's a conglomeration of movies. And I told you we'd talk about the news. You know, we heard the news in the background.
Yeah.
Just talking. And that's what Hooper said about a lot of it. This movie was only been able to be made because at that time, the news programs that we were seeing were very, very visual, very gory.
Well, yeah, Vietnam was
right.
Just finishing up then.
Right. It was nothing to see a dead body on the news program. Nothing.
Yeah.
And a bloody dead body. So it was only because of the time that they were in that they were able to make this movie and have it stand.
Wow. Okay. That makes sense.
Yep. And as far as true or a real story... You know, we had Watergate at that time. We had all kinds of stuff at that time where the government had straight up lied to the people so that it was all, you know, it was all legit. It was okay. If they can lie, we can lie.
Sure.
But that true part got them into a little bit of trouble. Some of the movie houses in... England were refusing to show it because of how gruesome it was.
Oh, I don't know how this wasn't on the Video Nasties.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that it was.
Right. And there was a guy from a magazine called Cinema Fantastique. The guy's named John McCarthy. He said that the house in this movie made the Bates Motel house look positively pleasant. But, yeah, it did.
Well, it's a wholly unassuming house, you right. know, just all the stuff that it was around the land when they were looking around the house. It was completely unassuming.
Right.
You know, who knew what went on inside that house? You would never have known unless you had set foot in there.
Right. Siskel and Ebert said it was violent and gruesome, but praised the acting and the technical execution of it. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. And Leatherface, of course, has gained a huge reputation, you know, for everything he's done. So there's a lot of weird stuff that came out of this movie.
And something that we made brief mention of in our TikTok was that this was one of the first episodes of A Final Girl.
Right.
And the final girl is the last woman or girl left alive at the end of the movie. Everybody else around her is dead, but she managed to get away by whatever means were necessary.
Yes.
And Sally Hardesty was really one of the very first final girls.
Right.
And that trope is still a thing.
Yes.
Like Sydney Prescott in the Scream movie. She's the ultimate final girl of my generation.
Yeah.
Laurie Strode from Halloween. She's one of the ultimate final girls. You don't really think of Sally Hardesty because Texas Chainsaw is one of those little kind of niche movies that you don't watch all the time. Halloween, you can watch several times over. Texas Chainsaw is one of those movies where you have to really like it.
Yeah.
To watch it multiple times.
Right. I doubt that I would ever even think about watching this movie again.
Well, I'm going to tell you that the first time I watched this was at a sleepover when I was in high school.
Oh, my God. Good Lord.
And the part with the old man sucking Sally's blood out of her finger really fucked me up.
Oh. Yikes.
I can honestly say that I have not watched this version since that sleepover in high school.
Oh my God. Okay.
Like I said, I've seen the remake. I've seen a couple of the sequels from the remakes. I watched, I think, like part 4 or 6 of this original sequel series. You know, a lot of people got their starts in Texas Chainsaw movies.
Yes.
Renee Zellweger was in I don't know, either 4 or 6, whatever that one was, like the next generation.
Yeah.
Oh, Matthew McConaughey was in that movie.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
No.
Oh my goodness.
You know.
Oh my goodness. It also had Hicksploitation.
Of course.
You know, so that, you know, what white people think white people act like, I guess, you know, but.
This is what white people think that poor white people that live in the backwoods act like.
Right.
Murderous cannibals.
Right. Right. So I thought that was pretty funny when I read that.
Like, between this and Deliverance, hillbillies got a bad name.
They did. They did. They really got a bad rap. Completely. Completely. But isn't that how it works?
Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah, this is definitely a pretty rough movie.
And yeah, but even saying that, how much blood did you see?
No, you know what? There wasn't a lot of blood. And to be perfectly honest, it was not as bad as I had thought it would be. I thought that we were going to see people sloshing through pools of blood.
Oh, okay.
You know, just chomp, chomp, chomp through the blood. And... but we didn't see any of that.
No.
We didn't see him getting, you know, even the poor guy in the wheelchair, we know what happened to him, but we really didn't see that.
And you could see as he was chainsawing him in the chest, blood was flying back on to Leatherface. You could see like spots on his apron come up.
Yeah.
But even still, like,
it wasn't.
You would think that if you're opening somebody's chest cavity like that, that the blood spurts would be tremendous.
Right. 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 But there, the director himself tried to, he was shooting to get a PG film.
Well, that was a rumor that I had written down. I wrote a whole thing about that.
Yep. He had taken a lot of stuff out of it so that he could attempt to get a PG, but he was given an X.
Yeah.
And
because it's so just thinking about what is happening
right
is terrifying.
Correct.
You know, seeing somebody getting, you know, chewed up with a chainsaw, yeah, that's pretty gross. But like thinking about what's happening to him after that, what happened to Kirk, you know, between him getting hit in the head and him getting chainsawed?
Right.
You don't know, and that's what's terrifying.
Right, right.
Because you know Kirk wasn't dead the first time he got hit in the head.
We saw that, yeah.
So what happened?
Right.
It's terrifying.
Right. Right, and when he hit him with that hammer, did you hear the sound? The sound was great.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, that was rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, the director attempted to get a PG, but in the end, he took a little more out and got an R.
Yeah.
And there have been some of the movie showings that someone had found all those deleted scenes and put them back in.
Oh.
And were showing them. But theaters shut them down.
Oh, well, yeah.
They and also police were called on several occasions because it was so bad that they made the theater stop showing the movies.
Well, I can imagine that, like, if you put too much in, it starts to look like a snuff film.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. I don't know. I thought it was all pretty rough.
Yeah. Well, it's meant to be rough.
Right.
But in terms of rough movies, this was pretty tame considering there were no naked girls.
Right.
Did you hear an F word? I didn't hear an F word.
Not even when somebody's being chainsawed. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear any foul language at all.
I think I heard shit a couple times. And he the dad did call the hitchhiker boy a bitch hog.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. So, but even still, you know, that
pretty
was
tame
it for
pretty
language.
Tame, yeah. 1974, we didn't talk like we talk now.
Yeah.
We did not. Every other word was not an F-bomb.
Oh.
I mean, it was used, sure, but not like, you know, not like now.
One of the other choices I had seen that I didn't even dangle in front of you was a Death Wish movie with Charles Bronson, where every other word is the F-word.
I had seen those. Before I had texted you to choose a movie from 1974, I had looked at movies, and they were all awful.
Yeah.
There were a lot of awful movies.
And a lot of them, there was one that I've never seen, but I know people that like it, and I don't understand that, because I've also heard about this movie. It's called Zardoz, and it's kind of like...
Never heard of it.
Well, it's kind of like this sci-fi fantasy thing. Sean Connery's in it. You should see his outfit. I'll pull it up. Hold on. But like, it's supposed to be like this kind of take on Wizard of Oz. Get it? Zardoz. Wizard of Oz.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. I'm
but
there.
Heard it's real rapey, and you know, I don't like that.
No.
I don't need to see that. Look at Sean Connery in all his glory.
Oh no. Oh, those thigh boots. Oh my God. Vicky's got a diaper on.
That does. The hair extension work.
Oh, that's sad.
The full man rug on his chest.
Oh my God, that's sad. He's got tan arms, but not a tan body. Oh man.
Yeah.
Yow.
It's the hair for me. The thigh-high boots aren't the problem. It's the hair for me. He's got the receding hairline up front, the handlebar mustache, but he's got this braid that's coming down over his shoulder that you know is not his hair.
Yeah, but there's nothing sadder than an old dude with a ponytail and no hair on top.
Yeah.
That's sad. See that all too often.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
Lord.
If you know,
Sean Connery back in 74 was a good looking man, but not that good looking to be just wearing a diaper.
wearing a diaper and a scrunchy set of suspenders right. crossed over his chest.
Right.
Yeah, I don't understand it. People, the tagline is beyond 1984, beyond 2001, beyond love, beyond death. I don't know how that really fits into what I know of the movie, but, you know, whatever. It's... It said it's got a 49% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 5.8 on IMDb. So those people that like it are niche.
Oh my goodness. That's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So I think you picked the best one. I mean, yeah, we went with Young Frankenstein, which is a movie that I've seen many times and love. And it's just hilarious. It's
if we had done that, we would have had to learn putting on the Ritz routine for our TikTok. And given the time constraint, we just couldn't do it.
Plus, I have two left feet and a tin ear, so.
Yeah. Mom's dancing in her chair. It's not good.
Nope, not good. No, but yeah, I love that movie. I love that movie.
Yeah.
But and I thought we've watched a few tame movies recently. So it's time for you to.
Okay.
It was, it's hard to watch, but I mean, it was visually pretty good movie.
Yeah. I mean, it said what it wanted to say.
I think so.
There was no ifs, ands, or buts about what it was trying to tell you.
Nope. And anybody who's been in the backcountry knows a gas station just like that, that probably does sell humans for lunch. I'm sure that's it, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think I ever need to see this movie ever again.
It's not one of my favorites. It's not one of those ones that I'm going to sit and watch all the time.
No.
You know, once every couple decades is fine for me.
Right. Right. So this kind of got our scary season movies off to a good start, even though it is still...
It's only August.
Yeah.
It's still only August.
Tomorrow's September.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're right there at the cusp.
Yeah.
So...
We were going to do... public domain horror movies. I mean, we could do public domain horror movies from now until the end of the year and still have plenty left over.
Absolutely. We could do that.
If you want.
Yeah, why not?
We can start it early.
Absolutely.
My friend at work has decorated her desk for Halloween already.
And they've already got pumpkin spice everything out already.
Yeah.
So why not? We can do an extra couple of movies. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
And public domain movies? How interesting is that going to be?
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why stuff is in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, copyrights have run out.
Right.
Copyrights weren't filed correctly.
Right.
You know, Roman numerals were incorrect. You know, just something, you know, a dot, an I wasn't dotted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something ridiculous. And, you know, that puts it in the public domain.
Right.
So, yeah, we can start that if you want.
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm all right with it.
I got some trivia.
Okay, let's do that.
The opening narration was done by John Larroquette.
Yes.
And if people my age don't remember John Larroquette from Night Court, then I don't know what else to tell you was in. He was in a show called Dear John in the 90s.
Yeah.
But I mostly remember him as Dan Fielding.
Right. Yes, I agree with
on
you.
On Night Court.
Yes.
And he said he was paid in marijuana in the form of one joint.
That's a little pathetic. But he only had to read one piece of paper.
Yeah, you know, two paragraphs.
Yeah,
that's worth, you know, $2 in weed.
I would think so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tobe Hooper claims to have gotten the idea for this film while standing in the hardware section of a crowded department store while Christmas shopping. And he was just like, how am I going to get out of this store? What around me can I use to get out of this store? And he saw a chainsaw.
Absolutely. That would get him out ASAP.
100%.
Yeah.
According to Edwin Neal, the hitchhiker, the Texas state troopers have actually shaken his hand and thanked him for causing crime to drop 18%. Apparently, the main message audiences walked away from this film with was don't pick up hitchhikers.
Yes, but like I said, back then we did pick up hitchhikers.
Ugh.
It wasn't a scary time like this. So, okay.
Yeah. Gunnar Hansen had originally turned down the role of Leatherface, but his friend Marilyn Burns persuaded him to reconsider. Marilyn Burns was Sally.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well,
we really didn't know it was him under there. I mean, that could have been any actor right. with that.
And apparently this is one of the only movies that he has ever shaved his beard off for.
Oh, wow. Because
he wears a full beard.
Okay. You know what? I don't think I ever really looked him up.
Okay, we talked about that. Originally banned in Finland.
Yes.
It was then released there in 1999, 25 years later.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
But again, a lot of those European, Scandinavian nations that are a little more squeamish than the U.S. is about anything.
Yes.
You know, there were banned movies. There are lists of banned movies you can find for most countries.
Yes.
But check out the video Nasties from Britain. That's an interesting little black hole to dig into.
I would think that there were movies that you're going, why is this movie on there?
Well, you know, some of them I...
Yeah.
This is the highest grossing independent film until Halloween came out in 1978.
Wow. Okay.
Terry McMinn was paid $700 for her appearance in the film. Gunnar Hansen only made $800. He was the main villain. She was on screen for like 20 minutes.
Oh my goodness, how'd she get such a good deal?
Well, maybe she knew somebody.
Okay.
And the last little bit of trivia that we haven't talked about is that the only two people that have had lucrative careers after this movie were Tobe Hooper and John Larroquette.
Uh-huh. Well, Gunnar Hansen, I mean, he's done other stuff.
Mostly Texas Chainsaw.
This says it had Dennis Hooper in it?
Dennis Hopper is in the second one, I think.
See, that's what I get switched around with the ones I'm in. And see, this says 1974, and I'm thinking, I didn't see him.
No, Dennis Hopper was definitely in the second one.
But that was one thing that I had to really look for to see, not mix the two up, because in a whole bunch of stuff I read, it was all mixed up.
Yeah, Bill Moseley was in the second one. He went on to do a lot of movies with Rob Zombie. Most of the Rob Zombie movies have Bill Moseley in them.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's it's amazing that, and so many of the people that I've looked at, you know, different things, they're dead now.
Yeah. I think Marilyn Burns just died in the last, I don't know, in the last decade. When did she die? Well,
I will look. 2014. She died a year before Gunnar Hansen.
Okay. So yeah, in the last decade.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that long ago, but yeah.
Right.
But there was a whole, I remember when she died that there was a whole big thing about, you know, the first final girl dying.
Right. Right. And, you know, and this was only... To me, this was only 50 years ago, which doesn't sound like much to me, but I forget that I'm so old.
Right.
You know, and 50 years, when these people were acting, they were probably in their early 20s.
Yeah, early to mid-20s.
So 50 years ago and now is in their 70s.
Absolutely.
So it's weird that to think about it, stuff like that.
Oh, there was one last thing that I read that I didn't write down. But at the end, when he's swinging the chainsaw wildly.
Oh, yes.
That's him throwing a tantrum that he didn't get the girl, that he didn't kill her. Tobe Hooper had wanted him to, like, stomp his feet and, like, have a little kid tantrum. But he Gunnar Hansen was just like, I think this is a little bit more believable in what he would have done,
right?
As Leatherface, just kind of swing that around wildly, like, what do I do now?
Right. He shouldn't. He had already chopped off a big hunk of skin off his leg. He can't be stomping his leg, his feet. Yikes! Yeah, it was something else. It was something else. But I had worked myself up thinking it was really, really bad. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. But would I choose it ever again? No.
Well, and you'd never watch one of the sequels?
No, No. Straight up, no. I can't even imagine that any of them would be any better.
No.
So, yeah, no. Not at all.
The Texas Chainsaw 2 came out around the time Breakfast Club came out. So, like, promotional like stuff for the movie is the Cannibal family sitting in that Breakfast Club pose.
Oh no. Oh, that's awful.
Let me see if I can try and find it for you.
Let's see, I have a Texas 90. Let's see. We're both trying to get our computers to work.
Here it is.
Oh my gosh. That's cool. But no, I wouldn't watch it.
Grandpa looks a lot better in this one.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I know that Justin has. He's a big fan of Chop Top, played by Bill Moseley.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's pretty awful.
And, you know, the whole cannibal family thing, that there's lore that goes back for centuries on stuff like that.
Yes.
Like they say, like, the Hills Have Eyes, which were also kind of cannibal people, were, and this family were based on a family from Scotland that ended up over here and were just trapping people and killing them and using everything they could off those bodies.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, the news has allowed that kind of stuff to be seen. Because if we can see it on our TVs, we can see it in the movies.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, so in the end, the question is, was it good that we did this kind of stuff on the news? Or should we have not done that kind of stuff? Who knows? Who knows what the answer to that is?
Yeah.
You know, and you can't go backward, you know, in these different theaters and different countries that banned this or that movie. You can't stop stuff like that.
No. Oh, no. I'm sure there's an underground trade, you know.
Yeah. So.
And are you going to stop my eBay packages?
Right.
Honestly.
Right. You know, so what's the answer to that? There isn't one.
Right.
So, you know. Big Brother is watching, and we know that, but what's Big Brother doing, you know?
In the end, nothing.
Right.
This stuff is going to always get made. But I think that this is weird that this is not considered one of the first slasher movies, that a movie made later in 1974 was considered the first slasher movie.
Right. How could this not be?
Right.
Holy cats. But, you know, who are we? We don't even know anything and we watch these movies and talk about them.
Right.
Like we know something about them. No, we know something about what we like.
Right. And like the movie I was just talking about was Black Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I've only ever seen bits and pieces of it. Like I've tried to watch it. But it's just one of those like boring, slow burns that just...
I have learned I don't like that slow burn.
I hate it.
Yeah, no, I don't like it either. So, yeah.
Like, as I'm getting older, my attention span is getting much smaller. You need to grab me in the first 15 minutes.
Yes.
Or else I'm playing on my phone.
Yes.
I'm looking at my computer.
Yes.
I'm talking to the cats.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's, and we've seen that with the movies we've watched. You know, you always call me out when I'm I lose interest and I get on my phone, you know, but yeah, I mean, I think that's the way people are.
Yeah.
People are people like that. So.
Yeah. And I know that not every movie is going to be made for me.
Right.
But like, and I try really hard to keep an open mind. But in a movie like Black Christmas, it's just
not possible.
Like, I get how subversive it was at that time, but like, you know, me as a modern adult, it's just like, I don't care. Okay.
All right. Yeah. I get it. I know what you're saying. And I think everybody that's listening knows what you're saying because they feel the same way. They have their tastes and they have their attention spans and they know what they like.
Right. And something that because I have grown up watching horror movies, is stuff that's, you know, Sally ran up the stairs when she should have ran through the house.
We kept saying the whole thing, don't go in there.
And then, you know, and then when Leatherface finally gets into the house, where does she have to go but up? And there's no safety in up.
No, then you have to jump out a window.
Yeah, and this body will not survive a fall.
No.
Of, you know, 18 feet.
Well, I have the second story, but you know, no.
You are also a baby made of baby parts that were, you know, basically Play-Doh.
Right. I think that's what all babies are made of. But anyway, yeah, no, don't go in there. Why would you even knock on that door? What? Don't go in.
Yeah. The minute I saw my friend's Afghan on the porch railing is the minute I'm turning around and running
right
the opposite direction.
Correct.
Because they are in there and nothing good has happened in there.
If there are rugs out there, nothing's good.
Yeah.
No. No. Absolutely not. No. Get in that car and drive away.
Oh, and the fact that he didn't leave the keys with them. Thank you.
Well, who gets out of the car and leaves the keys in the ignition? We don't do that.
Well, no.
I completely understand that.
Well, that's because engines were different then. You could turn the car on and take the key out. Because that van was on. The headlights and its engine was on.
No, the lights were on, but I didn't hear the engine, no.
Oh.
You can turn your lights on in your car without it being on.
Yeah, I know that, but.
So, no, who puts, you get out of the car, you put your keys in your pocket. That's just the way you do it.
I just, you know, and that's something that has always been in the back of my mind. I went to Warped Tour in like 2001 with some friends. And we got diverted off the highway, God knows where in Michigan. And I was the third wheel. I was there with a couple. And the boyfriend was driving. And we saw like a little mini mart type thing. I don't think there were gas pumps.
Yeah.
We stopped and as soon as he turns off the car, but he left the keys and he said, if I'm not back in 5 minutes, just start driving.
See, we've all been to that gas station. We've all been there.
But it was crazy.
Yeah. But this is a movie. You can't say stuff like that in a movie.
No. Well.
Then it would have been over.
The first mistake was picking up that hitchhiker.
Right. That's what the girl said. What's he look like? Oh, no, 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 no. They should not have picked him up. No. Absolutely not. It was a rough movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, for what it was a good movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't fault it.
No. No, it really helped define a genre.
It did. It did.
You know, this is between this and Black Christmas, 1974 was pretty wild for slasher movies.
Okay.
So, you know, and slasher movies are only evolving.
Right.
You know.
Oh,
without
right.
a movie like this, we would never have had a movie like Saw. Correct. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And Saw came out at a time when we were still making Friday the 13th movies and we're still making Halloween movies.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same tired stuff. And Saw came and redefined a genre.
Right.
That definitely needed some help.
Okay.
From being stagnant. But I don't ever want to watch a Saw movie with you.
No, I don't ever want to watch one either. I've seen the commercials. No, thank you.
It's the thought that somebody could do that to somebody else in a twisted means to help them is very scary to me.
Yeah, no thanks. There's some movies I won't watch. This one I didn't think was going to be, I thought it was going to be rougher than it was, but it was not.
Glad for that. I want your expectations coming into a movie, especially like this, to be like, I'm really going to fucking hate this. This is going to be gross.
Exactly what
I thought. And then for you to see that it's not terrible. It's not great.
No, you're right.
But I do want your expectations to be blown up a little bit just so you can see that, yeah, it's bad, but it's not something that you probably wouldn't see on the news.
Exactly. That's exactly right. But wow. Yeah, I do draw the lines on some stuff. I might not have seen a movie, but I've heard of it. And no, I don't have any interest in even pretending to watch it.
Yeah, no, Saw is really...
just looks rough to me.
It's rough. It's definitely rough.
Just the name, Saw. What do you think is going to come out of a movie called Saw?
Well, the ending of Saw, that's what made the whole movie worth it was the last 5 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, my. I'll tell you all about it.
No, thanks.
It's so great.
Okay.
Because most of it takes place in this one room and these two guys, and they have to fight to survive, basically. And the last 5 minutes is startling. And it's so scary. And stuff happens, and it's just like, well, how are you expected to survive after this? And then, it's that real life horror that...
No thanks.
...really is frightening.
I know real life is frightening. No thanks. Oh, yay,
yay. They were doomed from the start. When you first meet these two boys in this room, something happens that just it dooms them from the beginning.
Oh, dear.
They had no chance.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Only the first couple Saws are worth watching.
Okay. First couple?
There's like 10 of them.
Okay.
The one they made, the one called Spiral that was made with Chris Rock, that was really good.
Chris Rock? The comedian?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like a Saw, like, I guess it's kind of like a little bit of an offshoot.
Okay.
But it was really, really good to see Chris Rock in a non-comedic role.
All right. No, I do like that. That's why we watched Batman last time.
Yeah.
You know, because Michael Keaton was not Batman.
Right.
So I thought, I see that. And that is what makes an actor an actor, isn't it?
I think so.
Their ability to play parts.
Well, yeah.
But a comedian is different.
Absolutely.
So, what do you know?
Some would say that comedy is the hardest to do.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And absolutely. Here we are, sitting here making it look easy.
It's funny. I watched Drag Race Canada the other night, yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a few years ago. And they did a roast. They roasted Brooklyn Heights. And oh my goodness, if A couple of the queens were fabulous, and a couple were like, oh, they need to stop talking.
Oh no.
A roast is a particular type of comedy.
Yeah.
And it's obvious to me that everyone does not have that gene.
No.
Some of them were painful.
Oh no.
But it was, you know, but isn't that how you grow? Isn't that how you learn how things happen?
Well, I mean, you would think if that were something that you were required to do on a television show, you'd take a class before you went anywhere.
I don't know. Do these people know what's coming up? I mean, isn't this what reality TV is now?
Oh, I mean, they just throw you in. No, because none of it's real reality.
Right, right. But yeah, some of it was really painful. Another was pretty good. But, you know, it's hard to be funny. It is hard to be funny.
Yeah.
So, yikes. I don't know where I was going with that, but.
Well, it's hard to be funny, but here I am bringing the funny 24/7.
Right. You've seen us. We're funny looking. I mean, that's the start of it. You know, and then it just goes right uphill from there.
Right.
Oh well, we've tried to. You know, when we do this, I want people to have a little laugh. I have a bit of entertainment. You know, why be all kinds of straight and serious all the time? That's not what I am about.
Somebody commented on our TikTok and said, now they have a video game where you can play either as Leatherface or a person who hides from them and escapes the farm.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if I'd want to do that. Thanks, but no thanks, commenter?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's funny.
So I'm telling them that Big Daddy got a board game for his birthday.
Yeah, we'll do the board game. And not have a real chainsaw by us.
I think that's the same deal.
Maybe I should turn my volume down.
Yeah. What else is going on? We've talked a lot about this movie. This is the most we've talked about a movie in a long time.
I know, well.
But this movie has a lot to talk about. There's a lot to say about a movie like this.
Right, right. And especially, this is so different from movies we've watched recently. This is, like, way different.
It's even different than the slashers that I've showed you.
Right.
You know, this is different than Halloween. This is different than Jason.
Yes, absolutely. This is full-on guts and gore and,
yeah,
and stuff. But overall, I thought it was interesting that I would watch something like this. I just never even pictured myself watching something like this.
I was shocked.
But, you know, we've been safe. We've been playing safe. So it's time to, you know, step out closer to the ledge.
Okay.
How's that?
That's fine. I'll never say no to a scary movie.
Okay.
In fact, what we're missing right now is on Shudder last night at 9 o'clock started a 24-hour movie marathon of Joe Bob Briggs' Last Drive-In.
Oh my goodness.
Was doing another 6-movie marathon,
okay,
where he sits and talks about the movies and talks to people from the movies, and yeah.
All right.
So I can't wait to watch that when it reruns, just because I can't stay up for 24 hours. I am old.
To watch something 24 hours, I'd have to take 2-3 weeks, possibly.
Oh, I would need a couple days to prepare, and I would need at least a week to recover.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
My husband had an unfortunate incident where he met a pile of bees.
Oh, Lord.
And I was up for like 22 hours one day recently.
Yeah.
And it's been over a week and I still have not recovered. No. I slept about 12 hours last night. And then a few more hours after that, when I got up, after I got up and walked around a little bit, and I still could sleep for another 2, 3, 4 more hours.
Yeah, I don't know why you're not on the couch having a little nap right now. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Yeah, that was a rough day for you.
Oh, it's a rough day for him. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He was doing some yard work and found some ground bees that
Oh.
stung the living shit out of him.
Yes. And I know a lot of you people out there have done the same thing.
Oh yeah.
It's unusual, but it's not
It's
unusual.
a lady at work was like, "Oh yeah, I found some with my lawnmower.
Yeah.
It was awful." She's like, "I took my shirt off. I'm swinging my shirt around, standing in my driveway in my bra and my shorts."
I would have had my shorts off too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody knows somebody who's ha that's happened to.
And, we have animals, so we don't have like bug spray and
Right.
like bug traps, like anywhere in the house because the cats could get to them and God forbid. So he comes into the house, he brings bees with him,
Of course.
and they're flying around us. And I said, just spray them with something. And he said, spray them with what? And in our bathroom, there was an air freshener and a can of hairspray. And he picked up the can of air freshener and got me full trunk, just sprayed me down. I said, well, what?
Hairspray would have been better.
Mm.
Then they get sticky wings and can't fly, but
The air freshener knocked him out of the sky too. So
Yes.
that's all I cared about.
That's right. That's right. Oh my goodness.
One was
Oh.
crawling up the sleeve of my shirt. I
Oh.
had to do that bug dance,
Yes.
that
Oh. There you were with your shirt off, swinging it around.
I was in my night clothes, so it would have
Oh.
been a much more tragic sight if I had just taken my shirt off and started whipping it around.
Oh my gosh.
Because Ash and I had just laid down to go, like I had been laying in bed playing on my phone. I had just put my phone down. Ash and I just curled up together.
Yep, to get ready for sleeping.
And in comes Justin like a hurricane, just fuck sucker. And he's slamming the door, motherfucker. And I'm like, so I get up and I run through the house. Justin, what the fuck is wrong? And he's just standing there screaming, please.
Oh my God. And then his face started to
Oh my
swell,
God,
right?
his face.
Ay, yi,
That's I showed everybody the picture of his face. And I said, I want you to know that he's usually much more handsome than this.
yi. Yeah. This is what happens after the bees. Oh my. He was frightening looking, frightening.
It was terrifying.
Because I know something like that could possibly kill you.
Yeah.
You know, people have died from bee stings, and then to have 30 of
Yeah.
Well, so yeah.
Yeah, the welts on his body
Oh.
from being stung was just amazing.
Yeah.
And if he hadn't been half cocked, I'm sure it wouldn't have been as bad. But he was in his cups,
I
so.
would say so. Oh no. Thank God he's all right.
Yeah, and thankfully a hospital is about 15 minutes away.
Right.
So we were, and they took one look at him. As I said, Justin, we're gonna go to the hospital and we're gonna sit there for 2 hours. Your face is gonna be fine before they talk to us.
It's
And he
right.
was like, just take me to the hospital. So we walk in, and the guy said, what's wrong? And Justin said, I got stung by a shitload of bees. And the guy at the desk is just kind of like, okay. And I said, he doesn't normally look like this. And the guy said, let me go see if I can get somebody to talk to you. And I said, okay, thank you. And we were taken right back. Like,
That's amazing to me.
yeah.
And me and you sat out in the lobby with me vomiting and coughing and
And convulsing. It was
yes.
awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thank God they got him in, and you only had to spend 6 or 7 hours there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's all well now. So fortunately, it came out well.
He still has marks where he was stung.
Oh, honey, he got a big dose of poison. That's going to last a while.
Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't take medicine.
He should be still on that Benadryl, but yeah, I get you. I know.
So.
He's an adult. He can make those decisions himself.
Yeah.
Even though they're wrong, he can make them. Yeah, we live on the edge here, don't we?
Yeah, that's... I was telling my boss about it, and she was just like, I'd really love to see the camera footage from your house.
People running around. I can imagine arms flailing and...
You know, I'm running back and forth between my bedroom and the bathroom. I need my phone. I haven't had a bee sting since I was a child. I'm in my 40s. How do you treat a bee sting?
Well, when you have that many, you go to the hospital.
You know, and then I grab my phone, but I don't grab my glasses. So I'm got my phone up to my face. What am I going to do? Let me go get my glasses. What the hell is wrong?
Because that's how it always is.
I'm not good in an emergency.
And there were probably cats running around.
Oh, the cats were just
hissing at each other, probably, because what's going on?
Ash, the look that Ash gave me when I sat up in bed was just like, are we going to die?
Oh, poor little boy.
His little eyes were wide, and he was just like, huh? Is Dad going to kill us now?
Oh, poor thing. Poor Lexi. Poor Justin. And Jellybean was probably up in his circle just looking down going, what the hell is going on?
Well, Jellybean is real skittish. So, you know, I'm sure that the door is slamming and Justin screaming obscenities. just really put him into I need to go hide.
Aww. Yeah, probably Tallulah stayed upstairs.
I didn't see cats. I only saw Justin.
Right? Right? Oh, my goodness. Well, like I said, fortunately, things are okay.
Yeah.
And it'll be a while before all the poison goes out of his body.
Yeah, we haven't seen a bill yet, but I'm waiting.
Ay, ay, ay. Thank God you're rich.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank God you have insurance. I mean.
Yeah.
There's something.
Yeah.
I cover a couple of things. Well, it's not like you go to the emergency room every... This is probably the first time he's been to the emergency room in 10 years, isn't it?
Oh, probably.
You, on the other hand, go a lot. With everybody else.
Yeah, I don't personally go. I accompany somebody.
I'm sorry. Try not ever to do that again.
Please don't, because that was awful.
It was. It was awful and awful. And I hope to never do it again. Okay.
They put us in the hallway of the pediatric wing. They didn't even have a real bed for us. They just had a gurney in the hallway. Justin's talking about getting stung by a shitload of bees. And I'm just like, there are small children in the rooms down the hall.
He's going,
oh, fuck. Like, they were all over me, man. They were fucking all over me. And it was just like, baby, calm down.
Oh, no, that's so funny. It's not funny. It's so funny. Poor dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I am not emotionally equipped for any of this.
I understand.
And, you know, and then staying up, you know, my whole day was 22 hours long. That's too much.
Yes. I can't even imagine. But fortunately, you were able to call off and stay home and sleep a little.
Yeah.
Well, no, you didn't sleep much, but
no.
You were able to not have to function much.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The last time you called off was when you took me to the hospital.
Probably.
Yeah. Because I remember you had worked yourself into a tizzy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that was another 22 plus hour day.
Exactly.
It ended in me going home alone. So.
Right.
Oh my God. And that was so funny. Justin's all drugged up. Just go home. It's fine. I'll be okay. Just go home. Get some sleep. I said, how am I supposed to sleep with you not there? First of all.
Right.
Second of all, how are you going to get home? You going to walk home?
In his shorts and bare feet.
He put shoes on.
Oh, okay.
But he put them on in the car. He picked them up and we ran out the door.
All right. Oh man, I can't even imagine. It's not funny. It's funny.
No, it's funny now because he's fine.
Right.
But at the time, it was just like, I don't know whether to start screaming or like hyperventilate or start crying.
You save all of that for afterwards.
Right.
You can do all of the above afterwards.
That's why I was laughing at the hospital. I told the nurse was just like, and I was like, listen, I have to laugh about this or else I'm going to cry and I don't have time to cry.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, that's a good way to look at it.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Such things.
Yeah.
Oh well.
So that's my excitement. Do you have any excitement?
No, nothing. Well, you know, my uncle falling down and breaking his other leg. He had fallen down, 2 years ago and broke one leg?
A couple of years. Yeah, it's been a few years.
He fell down the other day, day before yesterday, and broke the other leg in the same spot.
Is he still in the hospital? Yes. Or is he okay?
Yes, he's still in the hospital. He'll have to again go to rehab,
I'm sure.
So
who's taking care of all of this?
I don't know. I got an email from a text from my cousin, and I told her if there was anything I could do, let me know. You know, and I do know that he is he's closer to the other side of the family, the cousins on the other side of the family, than me and Dave. So, you know, I know that they're around more than we are.
Oh.
I am now.
Oh, okay.
So, but if there's anything my cousin needs me to do, you know, my uncle just lives a few miles down the road from me. So, you know, I'll help her out. But I think my other cousin is coming. But he's got to be off work and stuff. I mean, they live in Colorado.
Yeah.
So I think that they need to take him and make him move to Colorado to be by them.
Yeah. Somebody needs to move back here.
Right. But they all have their lives there.
Yeah.
They've all lived there for
years.
30 years. You know, so they all went there as young, you know. Young people. So I don't know. I mean, that's not my business, but
yeah,
I'll help her out as much as I can.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's about it. That's about as exciting as I get.
Oh, okay.
Which is too much excitement for me.
It's too much excitement.
For sure.
I've got fatter on my heart. I can't do this.
That's right. Okay. Me too. All right. Well,
yeah, are we done?
Yeah.
I think we said a lot about the movie.
I did. We did. We talked about our food. We talked about money. We talked about all this stuff.
We talked about TikTok.
Yeah. TikTok was fun. That was a fun one. So, yeah, we'll get it. We'll get it all. We'll start with the spooky movies, public domain stuff.
Sure.
Might as well. Why not?
Night of the Living Dead is right there on Blu-ray. So you want to start with that?
Okay.
We can actually plan ahead.
Yeah, all right. Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. George Romero. The first zombie type movie.
Okay. I will even get my book back out and write it down. Although I think I need a new book. I'm almost out of pages.
Oh, no.
It's all right. I've got some books ready to go.
Oh, okay.
I got Santa Lexi brought some for me.
Yeah.
Because if I don't write this down now, I'll think, what did we decide?
Night of the Living Dead. I want to do Nosferatu.
Didn't? Oh, no, no. We talked about it, but we didn't do that.
Yeah, I want to do...
Oh, yeah. Look at that. I only have 3 pages.
Oh.
I'm going to have to get a new book out.
Yeah.
All right. I can do that. Night of the Living Dead, Nosferatu. What else? What else?
In your head? There's Carnival of Souls is a movie that is we can find.
Oh.
It's not as exciting as the name would infer.
Okay.
It's one of those movies that I've only ever watched it like as background noise.
Yes.
So like I've never actually like even recently, I did try to sit down and pay attention to it. It turned into background noise real fast.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh. Hello, sweetheart. Oh, she's spraying me.
No, she's not.
She's pretending to spray me because she's a girl.
She's excited to see you.
Yes.
Yeah, come here and talk to me.
Aw, she likes me. I'm her people.
Yay, that's good.
Such things. That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, so I've got ideas. And I've got like a whole like pack of movies somewhere that is all public domain stuff. Okay. So like there are movies to choose from that I actually have on hand. So we'll find stuff.
Okay, I'm excited.
All right. We will see you in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Bye.